On January the 26th, the announcement of the cuts that would be made to the BBC World Service were made public. Nearly one quarter of the BBC World Service staff would be cut, as well as a reduction of services. Now, some of the services, yes, I can understand. But there is one in particular that completely bewilders me. If I can think of another word of bewilders, shocking, insane. Just makes me wonder, who are the world leaders today? And that is the dropping of Chinese to China on shortwave. I don't understand it. But before I continue, let's take a listen to an excerpt of the BBC World Service program NewsHour with Claire Bolden. Her guests were John Cusett, who was a former director of the BBC, and Louise Bagshaw, an MP for the Conservatives.
You're listening to NewsHour with Claire Balderson, and we were just hearing about the budget cuts at the BBC imposed because the grant in aid from the Foreign Office that'll fund the World Service for the next 3 years has been reduced significantly. Well, John Chuser is a former head of the World Service. First, though, Louise Bagshaw. She's a Conservative Member of Parliament's Culture, Media and Sport Select Committee. Why is the BBC World Service having to take a disproportionate hit in the cuts imposed on the Foreign Office budget?
I don't think it is. Again, you just heard from Peter Horrocks. I thought it was a very sensible answer that the BBC has to look at priorities. In fact, what's been handed to the BBC World Service is levels of spending that they received in 2007 to 2008. So we're not talking about a doomsday scenario. What we are talking about is setting strategic priorities, reducing, for example, you put it that we're cutting radio services to Russia and we're cutting them to China. What we didn't explain there is that China very often blocks off those shortwave services, so they're not actually reaching an audience, and that in Russia shortwave use is declining massively and people are turning to the internet. I think we had the implication there that the BBC World Service suggested further languages to be shut, but the Foreign Secretary has given approval to these particular ones, and as we've heard, there are changing strategic priorities. The BBC World Service provides a voice in the wilderness for people that can't otherwise get free news. Where that situation has changed, as it has in the Balkans, surely that's a place for cutting where it reaches small audiences.
It hasn't changed. Changed in China, in Russia, one could argue, it hasn't changed in Cuba, where there's a small Spanish for Cuba service. So what are the strategic priorities?
But in China, as I have just said, the Chinese government regularly blocks shortwave radio broadcasts by the World Service. No, we're trying to provide it in a more effective way. If you turn more to the internet, people are much more Yes, but they're more likely to be able to access that than blocked shortwave services, which is exactly what the Chinese government is doing.
What about the argument that is often made very effectively, that the World Service is a very good tool of soft power for Britain? And it seems a little perverse that the overseas aid budget is protected from the spending cuts, but the World Service budget isn't protected in any way.
No, I think the Foreign Secretary has said that the BBC World Service remains a priority for the soft power that you talk about. He is about to announce an extra £10 million per annum to be given to the World Service to concentrate on the new strategic priorities, programming in Urdu, programming in Hindi, and programming in sub-Saharan Africa. So the Foreign Office is still very much alive to the strategic value of the World Service for those soft power objectives.
OK, I'm going to bring in here John Chuser, former head of the World Service. What's your reaction, John Chuser, to what you've heard today about the extent of the cuts?
Well, first of all, I think that I feel huge sympathy for Peter Horrocks. He's been put in an impossible situation. The Foreign Office didn't fight for him. They loaded the heaviest cuts on him under the World Service. I've always said the Foreign Office were poor custodians of the World Service. This is now being proved right. BBC Trust didn't fight, and the result is it's a bad day for World Service audiences, for British foreign policy, because how on earth you can maintain the budget for international development and then cut one of the most powerful instruments of international development, which is the World Service, simply beggars the imagination. And the rest is all just a bit here and a bit there and making do with scraps. It's a very bad day and a very bad set of decisions.
On the other hand, John Chuser, one does have to ask, what are the alternatives? Because as we know, the finances of Britain generally are in a terrible state and everybody is having to make cuts in just about every public service.
Well, except the Department for International Development. Are you really telling me that the World Service does less for capacity building, which DFID always talks about? I think it's doing more for capacity building in many parts of the world. It's doing more for gender awareness and all the other things that Tiffit says it's doing. It simply is extraordinary to preserve the international aid budget and then to axe so much of the World Service. Six services last time, five languages of service this time, and 570 editorial staff. It is hollowing out the editorial capacity and the journalistic capacity of the BBC. No amount of messing around at the edges can alter that fact. It's a very bad day.
OK, let's get Louise Bagshaw's reaction to that.
Oh, you make it sound as though the World Service is about to be closed by the Foreign Office. We're talking about real-term spending only pruning back to 2008 levels. 3.5 million people at the moment are listening to the five language services which are being shut. That's out of a total World Service audience of 180 million people.
And
so this is not a... It is not a doomsday scenario.
Going to be able to hear the World Service. 30 million by Peter. You know, what is the Foreign Office doing walking away from an audience of 30 million? All this, you know, a bit of this and a bit of that. You're trying to micromanage broadcasting. It's never worked in the
Nonsense.
Past, and it doesn't
Nonsense.
Work now.
No, Louise Bagshaw, that is true. It is 30 million, we just heard Peter Horrocks said, who will not be able to hear the programmes they have been hearing.
I have the figure in front of me from the Foreign Secretary, which is 3.5 million, so there's a massive disparity there. But I will say that you've heard Peter Horrocks say on this very programme that the core mission of the World Service will not be touched. We have seen the Director General.
You are axing it in all sorts of ways. You're depriving audiences. You're saying you can get through on the internet. There is no substitute for large.
We're talking about shortwave radio nonsense. These are services which are blocked and which people don't listen to.
And on your attitude, we would have stopped broadcasting to the Soviet Union during the Cold War because there was jamming. What sort of idiocy, I'm sorry to use the word, it's not personal, what sort of idiocy is that?
But I'm afraid this is fighting yesterday's battles today.
Back in that time, there was not the availability of the internet. You can't micromanage as you're trying to do.
Louise Bagshaw, would you just answer his charges there, that you're micromanaging?
I will indeed. We have, after all, made this settlement with the chairman of the BBC Trust, the Director General of the BBC today in the Telegraph defended these changes.
Okay.
You've heard Peter Horrocks defend them. The BBC is in favour of them.
Now, there are a few things in there that I want to point out. 3.5 million versus 30 million. Discrepancy? Well, I'm not going to say anything on that, but there is something funny. Now, she was just mentioning that they want to look at new platforms to access the Chinese market. I can give you an example of something that recently happened. This was just actually last week when I went to China for a few days. As you may know, I was based in China for over 8 years. Not once was I able to access the Chinese website of the BBC. Yes, you can access the BBC Chinese site using a proxy server, but there is a problem with that. It slows it down so much that it can take up to 2 minutes to open a web page. And as for audio, forget it. When I was in Beijing, I decided to use one of my phone apps on my iPhone and my iPad to listen to the BBC. The only message I got was, service unavailable in your area. That's right, those are being blocked. Mind you, that night I did turn on my shortwave receiver and I was able to tune in. Yes, there was some jamming, but there are ways to go around the jamming. This concept and this idea that in developing countries like China, switching to the internet is the way forward. No, it isn't. Now, I predict that in a few years from now, the BBC will issue a statement that we're going to cut the Chinese service altogether because we have so few listeners. And in a few years from now, that would be accurate. If you cut shortwave and other means to reach the Chinese audience, you are cutting the audience. It just makes me wonder, what are these people thinking? The former director of the BBC made a good point. He said if you followed that philosophy, the BBC would have stopped Russian to the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Obviously, this Louise Bagshaw, I think the first part of her last name is more appropriate, use your imagination, is living in a dream world. She sounds like someone who has either, number one, never lived outside the United Kingdom. I grant, she probably has traveled on one of those British holidays somewhere, maybe to Mallorca or something. But I guarantee she has not lived overseas. And when I mean overseas, I don't mean going to the continent, and I don't mean going to North America. I mean going to Africa or coming here to Asia, more specifically maybe China, Indonesia, and some other developing countries in this region. She is completely misguided. The British government is just, as Bob Zanotti would say, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It just makes me wonder where this is going. Now, quite recently on Media Network Plus, our guest was Victor Gonatelica. He said something which puts it bang on the money. And this is what he said.
Decisions are taken about the broadcast, about the station, its finances, its budget, by people who are maybe appointed as political appointments, who know nothing or very little, or they are not concerned about what the broadcasters are doing. Some of the engineers are so frustrated, and they are, they have no budget to keep the transmitters going on. And the program producers, they have no budget to make good programs. So finally, you know, Keith, 2 years ago at the SWL Fest, I was asked to give my thoughts about radio, shortwave broadcasting. My opening lines were, shortwave is not dead, but it is being killed by people who should know better, but unfortunately do not.
That's a very, very true statement. Something I think that you would probably agree with. You know, we were just talking a moment ago about the sound quality on shortwave. And I think what some broadcasters have done, they've actually sort of killed it on purpose to push people towards listening on other platforms. Because shortwave radio could sound good when it's engineered right. But if they don't have the budget and sound quality suffers, of course nobody is going to listen.
Well, as you said, you know, the way things are done, it's being driven out of business, we'll say. What happens is, you know, it's a chicken and egg situation. They say, okay, nobody listens to shortwave or audiences are going down, so we put less money on the shortwave. I said, no, keep the money on shortwave. Put money on the new media, definitely. You have to go to the internet. You have to have streaming audio. But I don't know, in all my life, I have a free internet connection. I never listen to any broadcaster on the internet. I have so many other things to listen on the internet than a radio broadcast, which I can pick up on my radio. But what I'm saying is, thereby, you kill the broadcast. Now, for instance, to my country, the BBC had almost 6 channels at the peak hours, but today they have 2, and same for the Voice of America. So people find it difficult to get the station, and then naturally they start tuning out or they can't find it. So you put less money every year on the broadcast, and people find it harder to hear, and the audience figures go down. So I say, okay, in 2000, there were 12% of people listening. Today there is 2%. You have killed your broadcast, and people cannot listen.
And that was Victor Gunatelica. You can hear the full interview that we did on the January edition of Media Network Plus. Final comments. This, again, like I said, is mad. It's insane. This woman, Louise Bagshaw, is nothing more than a complete ignoramus. That's it. That's all I have to say of this matter. If you wish, though, to make your comments known to Louise Bagshaw, her email address is posted at the PCJ Media website. In Taipei, Taiwan, I'm Keith Powell.